It was a pleasure, Matt.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for being here, and thank you for having us.
My name is Edo Maruta. I will present with Brad here why and what it takes to take a big DB in the cloud.
So first, and first line about us, the traditional one. So when I started preparing the slide,
and if you wait before the training, because I was wanting to do that too.
I was like, hey, how should we introduce this? They were like, well, I don't talk about myself, so I guess I'm going to introduce a little bit better.
I would say something about myself. I first
started my career working for BNP Paribas. I was a French bank. Before joining a startup car about 9 years ago, I was called Stoic, doing a lot of data staging. I'm essentially trying to reinvent the public generation spreadsheet working with big data, which led me to meet Mark and Hannes
and working with DuckDB. And I loved it so much that I wanted to be more involved and join Mother Dodge last year.
And just, even if he doesn't want to be talked about here, has joined us from the way of Elastic, where he was in charge of the distributed parts, and later on became the technical owner of the cloud.
Have fun. So very quickly,
I had fun with, you can see, Church and then group and meeting. So very quickly about Mother Dodge. So we were founded, we created the company last year in June. We have a very tight relationship with the DuckDB Labs. We initially started the company with 11, veteran from the industry. The CEO of the company is Jordan Tiani, who was one of the funny engineer of some query. We have Mehdi as well, who joined us, and another folk that you will meet later with like a little like duck off from that. Cool. And we also be backed by an industry leading venture capital fund. So why would we do that in the first place? Why take this in-process in-memory database to the cloud? At first, it sounds like a little bit incompatible. The realization is that while it's nice, most people don't have that much data, and much people work with data set that are actually not like petabyte, like in your company, but like more something around like 100 gigabyte size. And the query that they extract from that is actually even much smaller, like a few order of magnitude smaller. So Jordan noticed that 90% of the query that a process actually address around 100 megabytes of data, and that you can bring back from the cloud to your local laptop. So essentially, we see that the scaling of the compute is much smaller than the scaling of the storage that you put in the cloud. And another realization is that small scenarios are underserved by a big company. Then we have the focus on request for GM toward like terabytes in all the year. Why do we want to use the cloud is to reduce packaging to do your processing and then most of your data scanning back in the cloud. You don't pay for all the red costs. On that, I will leave the floor to Boaz to tell us how to get that.
Thanks. Thanks. So just to echo the last presenters, we actually do this through an extension mechanism. So all the crazy stuff, hopefully you're going to see that's all down to the very accommodating API that you get to do many things. And I can only flesh out what was said, that their asterisk is pretty deep, at a billing way there. So I think the first thing to point out when you put DuckDB in the cloud, that they're actually not running in the cloud. Okay, so this is P2P proposition. He has talked about how the data is small, it's memory, your laptop parts run just fine. That's probably what you've been doing with DuckDB so far, and there's no reason to walk away from that because it actually does give you quite a lot. Most importantly, it's the fastest way to play around with your data. Right? The data is locally, there's no network overhead, in extreme case of Wasm, it's actually in the browser, and that's what we want to maintain as much as possible. Okay, so we will try to run everything that we can locally on our laptop, and everything that's not on your laptop will be adjusted, and we try to push it to your laptop so you can get this awesome experience. Okay, and by the way, I don't, maybe I missed it while doing something on my phone, but this talk is aspirational at parts, okay? So we will show you a demo at the end of where we are right now, but there's a lot of things that that we just did not build yet, and I want to hold on to look at and research. So the main purpose of the talk is to give you an idea of what it takes. So yeah, looking forward for the discussion. But my thought is, you have a question, don't raise your hand and ask a question. It makes it nice. Okay, so going back to the left side, we talk about interactivity and observe speed, execution speed. This is really great, but then also it is also an enabler to doing second level functionality that's also really hard, and the things that call on the slide are autocomplete, right? So if you have access to the data, you can see what tables you have, you can see maybe some logical, I mean, max of it or whatever, you can do fancy things that's really only local at the speeds of a local interaction if you try to do it with a cloud backend. That's prohibitive. Or you can do something like the cool demo or a file clone if you've seen it on it would be in the browser, where you have instant chatting over there. And you can zoom in and out and play with it. It's all there. So resulting, all these things are very nice. Locally. And then finally this literacy, which we often don't really find sexy, but it is there. Sometimes your data is bound to the laptop. So I don't want to put it here. It's just mine, and that can be cost regulation, but it also be because I just generated from some file that I have something, and it's a bit of a hassle to upload it, download it, and play. It's just there. So how do we go about to make sure that you can run as much as possible in the cloud and as well locally? We demo with something that's not really new. Because of someone told me a side that it's been done in the 80s, so
very innovative. Which is really cool because I got to read some interesting papers and look at how we can improve things. I also admire how much output that we got from
the 80s when they do this testing on the databases with a lot of data. 6,000 tuples was the last period.
But for our days, you have a female query, free table, DS and R, and always with join on the shell IE.
And if you look at how this is done in DuckDB, you get this 10 where you have DNS being first reduced by having a hashed into a hash table, and then all the data from on is streamed through there and being reduced and enriched by some DNS. Okay? This is a most brilliant browser in paper of this chart, and we're going to use this chart as a base for explaining. So before we start, we need to kind of assume some things about the data. So just for the sake of discussion, is the T is the local table, and the S and R are tables that have data that is stored in the cloud. So far, so.
So, the first thing I may test is if you want to join S and R, right, and both of them are in the cloud, then maybe we should do this entire first join in the cloud, rather than do what I just said, which is normally, which is first build T, then build S, into hash table, then run out through it, okay?
So that's exactly what we do. We go and identify these pieces and say, hey, first and all, the DM, they form a subtree together. Go and do this in the cloud. Again, in the cloud, we have the DuckDB, same as the local DuckDB, so we can do this. And we have the first job. Now, what to do with T? Any suggestions, ideas?
So that really depends.
So the first thing that makes sense, okay, the first projection, well, I know it's a select start, so it's not really interesting, but said we would only select a few builds, and that kind of makes sense to do it already because the data is locally and start what you need, and that's it. And from this point on, depends. Okay,
so assume that the join of SNL is really small, right? After we join the whole thing, we turn up with little data, and T is huge. Okay, T is on my laptop, can easily have 20 gigabytes of a pocket file lying there.
It doesn't really make sense to send this vendor gigabyte up the cloud to do the join and bring it back, right? So in that case, probably better off downloading the first join as then merging it with T.
However, the reverse can also be possible, right? That S and R and join is huge and T is small, so it's actually quite convenient if T is just, say, 30 lines to upload T into the cloud and then reduce
all the data, even more, and only download the result, which is then in this test at most 30 minutes. So that might make sense. And that's part of what we need to do, and that's what we have in an extension that uses data, fight to bullet statistic, decide how to blend this, and Yves will demo them that plate. Okay?
That's been
you wait.
Sure.
So we do all this planning. So let's see what to one DuckDB, and it runs a plan the way it runs a plan, and I have one DuckDB in the cloud and one DuckDB in the cloud, and we start to break it apart and merge it in arbitrary arbitrary ways. So this will actually have working now, and Yves will show it, but I wanted to show that this is the plan where you take start from scratch and you just look at the tables and you want to make this decision. But it also may very well be that you did something before you did this. If we take this again, a very simple scenario where we say, hey, I look at SDL and I join them and I look at what I got and I figured, well, wait a second, it's not everything I need. I actually have this teasing and I'm able to merge it into the result. And then I get what I actually need, which I think is totally feasible, but that's how it goes. In that case, in the first query, again, both of them are in the cloud, so it means, you know, there's really little option then to join the NMA cloud and download everything to your laptop, and then you have the results, okay? But then, I'm a human, I'm personally very slow compared to my laptop, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the results, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, and decide whether it's good to me. In the meantime, we can take the opportunity and say, hey, let's just pull all the data rather than the first time results of what I just looked. We just keep on pulling because the users aren't doing anything and internet is still picking up. You just always subscribe to their phone and ready. And as we confessed, then dial right zero to the filter thing. Okay. And if we can show all that, that means that now, if we look at the case where this was actually in a previous case where SNL was large and T was very small. Just quite nice, it made sense to upload T. This was a join in the cloud, right? But now, actually, everything is local. So if you look at that at this plan, to the right side, he's only cache fully local. T is fully local. So everything is local, and nothing to sing the main self, it just executes the local version, which was previously exactly the same. Okay, so where there's a lot of room for wave optimization, understanding the overhead of the network, trying to understand the amount of data that you have, trying to understand what you're locally gauged, trying to understand when it makes sense to actually continue on ingredients that the user is actually happy with, maybe should remove the limit closers just for fun. A lot of things we can play. And this is as far as the hard data execution, what we are doing, and I think there's years and years of work on it. One thing I think that we want to show, and that is mentioned already, we want to offer a service that is the most friendly to you, makes the more uses of the resources that you have, and the laptop is running what they have. Right? You buy it for, it's typically really busy machines, a lot of cores. So we really try to optimize to say, bring it everything locally, use as little cloud resources as possible. So with that in mind, well, We do want to offer a cloud service. So we can't just say, hey, look, I'm going to update, download data, and we find you actually there's a lot of things that are going on with people's expectation of what it takes to build a cloud service. And it's a good one, right? And that goes pretty far in terms of complexity. So the first thing we start from the bad, like Google Docs and all the services that we want to open it together. That's part of the upside. It's very hard to open a laptop together. It's like a couple of and maybe that different, but cloud, you're tired, right? So that means that if I want to give you a copy of my data, and if they know it's 20 terabytes, that should be possible and not should be very hard. So now we need to build zero copy functionality. If I want to say, hey, I fucked up my data, I need to want to go to a version with 10 minutes ago, people expect to be able to do it. I don't think anyone expects to turn it on head up to. Okay? If I shared my data and now I changed it and I want the updates to be pushed out, even though I just did a zero copy, and all of this need to be centralized, and finally you also need to know who you shared the data with and what actually means and revoke it, and all this administration goes along to it. So we need to build all of it. Then, one of our main features as to why the hell you want to move off your laptop and run something on the cloud is because the data is there, so you need to be able to exit it fastly and cheaply, and offer egress laws. But it turns out that's not so easy. And actually, Yonaki, which was I'm calling for an elastic of the longest time, trying to optimize the speed it takes to pull data from S3. And so you need to make sure you're concurrent, you can concurrently read it. You need to make sure that you pay with whatever Amazon rules in terms are of terms of throttling and spread out the reads. You need to make sure that you are even maybe WDB runs with 3 threads because that's what makes sense for the planning. We want to read the data with 20 because that's what will saturate the nick out on the VM and so forth and so forth and so forth, right? So this is the core feature, and it takes quite some attention. Then finally, you have this magic word from call servers, right? So which basically is the synonym to everything should just work and I don't care about anything. But the cloud is not. It's just delayed also. It's just a bunch of machines and you have all the configurations and below the roof is just lined up with processes and threads and everything is the same, right? So you need to go and hide all of this and do all the work, and that's exactly why you could move to your SaaS offering. So you don't need to worry about all of these things, which actually is pretty hard, right? So we need to configure the buffer pools to make sure they fit into memory. Out of core functionality was just discussed. That means they need to be able to automatically tweet, right? Because people expect the cloud to do anything they want, no matter what size, and what's obviously not in your case. Resource efficient. We need to make sure that if two of you use the cloud service at the same time, you don't feel like there's two of you walking around. It's fully mine and it works and it's great. Again, reality is very different. And most importantly for price, if you want to be really friendly for the cloud, people assume this elasticity, which is typically what people talk about is going up. But going down is just an important, like from my cloud is not doing anything, I don't want to pay. So staying up to zero is important part of it. And then finally, if you want to have an efficient cloud, you need to move things around. It's not like your laptop, which says your laptop, which you write. I'm married to my laptop and I can live with being everywhere. That's just not how it goes. So I need to be able to offload it better. To move workloads, all of this without people and not noticing. And the last thing we wanted to call out is execution speed of feeds. Okay. So, but we want to do it from a very easy storage. Like, above storage can store as much data as you want. It doesn't cost anything for anyone. And that's what people do. But it has to be fun. Okay, so then again, attention doesn't really work out, which means we need to look at layouts, dashing, for bringing the right data very close to definitely actually on the same machine, otherwise it won't fly and it could be in the memory. On the other hand, people expect to write it, and write it should be persistent, so we now need to go and store it somewhere else. Replicate it, we cannot upload this to S3 because we're just too slow, and we need to deal with all this raft. Again, if you have any questions, just let me know what questions. Okay, so what did we end up with? This is actually almost everything is there already. Architecture. So first, these are all the things with RapidHCON embedded. Okay, that we wanted to choose. Again, you have the Python, which was just mentioned, or the Mono GI that on Java and JDBC or wherever. It doesn't really matter. The way we interface with WDB is by loading a motherboard extension, and again, you'll see it in a second. And that one cooks into all those beautiful places and perhaps to connect them with a free of them counterparts in the cloud. Okay. And we also offer a web UI to show it where we've then get very similar experience through Wasm, thinking about typical notebooks, or any other VR, just to show how people to interact with the data. I think you can all appreciate from GitHub. What does it mean to have a UI? It's just always there to look at your data book. It uploads local WDB as a service as soon as they connect to the cloud data with the cloud side WDB instance running. We call them duckling. And I forgot to mention about the server session. If you scale up to zero and you more than 100 greedy, you expect that server to be there. And you expect the server to be there within many milliseconds. And even though it's not really there, and if you know a little bit about Kubernetes, it takes 20 to 30 seconds to start the container. So to do all of that, we need to go capturing the people just claim and now install. So we do one right now in one-to-one mapping, which also help with the isolation. And then you see all the underlying services that are geared toward understanding which database server you have, and if that thing goes away, there's a whole service layer, the full things from S3, and then that one is to picture that and make sure that's ready to go, and so forth and so forth. And long down, they also want to integrate with the SAL database, just like Wikipedia can do now.
So
it comes. Yes.
So one thing I was looking back to, or she said to configurize the event. And like the data I can operate on, can you have like multiple containers that operate the same data for me?
We could, in theory. Okay, the problem comes with the rights. Okay, so right now we work away from this design volume and we have 1-to-1 metadata. And then we use that's one of the discussion we have, but the simple connability model is if you want to share data with me, you can make you can create the shell and that will allow me to open a point-in-time snapshot of your data.
Okay.
And then the collaboration happens on S3 really. That's what the thief.
Yep.
Yes. So I even understand where the data is coming from with this schema. So let's say they have my path advice on data. And I deny to deploy your dark leagues. Yes, close the way they can. Send the log on dark DBs with a soft to that. Yes, the tool says. So it's like I define data and then I use this. Or in that I need to bring my data to you. Both are an option. Okay, so this S3 actually serves in two roles. You will see later in the demo that we can access any S3 bucket, just like that we can do today. But also, we have our own buckets that we manage and all the more. And CL features like zero copy and table names and all these things all work on our manager three because we actually need to change the storage format of RPVC to there.
With Mother Duck, you throw something touch and geese out.
With the CL, this is a SaaS vessel. But you can get access to it on any .db or system. And other than that, you can write through .db kind of locally. You can do via table as blah, 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 and we'll upload the data for you.
Yep. Good. So the last thing, of course, failures. And I don't know when your laptop failed on you, and I'm sorry if that did happen.
Last time that happened to me was maybe 6 years ago. Okay, so laptops don't really fail, and they're very large. Clouds, on the other hand, also don't really fail, but there is a lot of VMs there. So we need to deal with a large amount of failure, and the Mac world coaches about it, and because, again, there's this magical expectations, which is like people very much that this thing never fails, right? And it's not. So we need to deal with it. And again, this is just endless list of things you have to worry about. These are the more classical, even think about them, I think, pretty easily in yourself. If you're a temporary dev rule in this tapling and it's a dev result, and now it died, and it's too gone, right? And people maybe don't know, unless you have a stairs running all those parts of VMs will die and they will die without any again. And sometimes the personal type of VM that you pay for it, it will be more aggressive than this. It's just you have to plan for this other lot of just there's more with no guarantees whatsoever. It's not my physical machine in your own data sense. Okay, and another big problem that we have to deal with is, as I mentioned, the caches are data, and like if we want to be fast and this data needs to be on VM or super accessible to the VM. Now, if the VM where the cache is running on dies, then hydrating 200 gigabytes for S3 takes some time. And if it's 2 terabytes, it takes even longer. Right? So that's a big concern. I actually don't know exactly how we're going to solve. So if you have ideas, please stop. And then finally, when you're running the terminal, you know, with WDB, you're running a horizontal system with WDB, there's always the use of driving the infrastructure and packet when I'm hitting enter and waiting to see what happens. Right, so there is a very convenient channel of telling a user, hey, sorry, this didn't make sense, the file is broken, the CSG, then out of memory, everything just happened. And then like, the worst that can happen, and it's pretty bad, but again, I make it a process test when I find it. Oh, I lost my process, and then we'll figure out why. Like, this is very clear communication. So now we have this WDB sitting there in the cloud, and there's a logo of WDB, and then they fire, they talk to each other, and they talk to each other synchronously. And as you'll see later, different pieces of agreement, some different moments, and maybe some in the WDB server side, those agreements on the file restitution as well. And what else also is it's a perception, and all of these need to kind of roll back and get back to user, which turned out to be challenging. So that is another thing I want to highlight. And finally, sometimes you don't have any yellow, I don't want to look like an elf. Like, it is running really on hotel Wi-Fi, and we can get disconnected from the cloud, and then we get reconnected. And what you don't want to do is say, oh shit, we lost everything in the triage, the cache, let's reappropriate the temp table, run all the session, and all the time fair the things, but nothing really happened. The last thing was a blip in the network. So we need to take those into it. Okay? So, now, just to tell you what it all is, or fairly straight,
the moment of the demo. So, usually demos are, you wish for a booting down connection. In this case, actually, the point is made when demo connection from with grow able.
I kind of think that.
Yeah, so I'm first gonna query. Is it for? Okay, so I'm gonna first query a small Parkifier and see how it goes locally with Stockpick, almost Stockpick. So I'm gonna first load the HDFS extension because I need that to query S3, and then I'm gonna throw the Parquet extension because I need to query the Parquet. Cool. So the first thing I'm gonna load is, I think, a small version of the PyPython node of DuckDB, just to see how it goes. So the good side, and it takes about like 5-10 seconds, but it eventually completes. Okay, cool. So now let's see. We have a dump. I don't know from which date exactly it is, but we have a dump of the Hacker News commands, which I think is 2 GB or 3 GB, something like that. And so let's see if part of that one flies. In the meantime, let's see what having a duckling in the cloud can do us. So here, do is I'm gonna say, hey, I'm gonna connect to mother dark. Oh, it's facing first. Of course, my token is that. But it had to release and I've been okay. If, oh, come on.
Not really.
I don't have that.
It start again. Again, I'm using database.
I get those of it here.
That thing charm, right?
Yeah. Just that.
And always the good thing that I need to do in that demo, right? Ooh. All right, completed on the other side. We did it.
Is it with the
Now let's enable the live voice.
And I sort of like,
let's enable the lagging. You also, so it's very nice to have all this, like, username. What I did was to try it to fetch the names in the CLT file. So let's look at roots here. So I'm not sure about every all of them, like maybe this one. Then all of the other should be the right one. So now what I'm going to demo is the last talked about is this hybrid query where basically this both of it here is remote and you, oh, sorry. So, one question, the speed up is really because your data was already in that topic, right? Not even in the dodging. It was actually scanning the cloud. It was not even in the dodging. It was because the server was so close.
But yeah, it's because you thought it. That's great, right?
Well, our server downloaded it for you. But it's some line of AWS very close to the
bottom. Okay.
Yeah, it's better than the Wi-Fi.
And then the Steve.
Did I mean?
Second.
So now, okay, so now here we can see the results that they did join between the username and this local CSV file. And here we can have a look at something interesting, which is execution time. And what we can see here is that basically on one side of the branch I once showed, we have, we are reading the CSV locally. And on the other part of the plane, we are downloading from the cloud. So a bit more proof of what we're doing and how the average execution time that was executed.
That is question that really is.
And you could contrive an example where the order that you write SQL in mean that you don't have any of the nice parallelization between local and body. So how are you changing the kind of, like let's say join read order,
right
over here. Is there some kind of combination of, okay, this is like the ones awful based on the data that's there, so apply some graphies to frame what a brief thing that we write down.
So something as mentioned is very much work in progress, and this the 40 years before we're going to nail that down pretty quickly. I'm also pretty convinced that at some point we need advanced user to have like nodes that they can say how no, I want to be in that locally or remotely. And so there's a long tail of like scenarios, but yeah, I agree with you that. So that's local as with clubs, which you could also imagine like between clubs, right? The hyper scenario, then it will be another, well, so technically, as was also mentioned, we have one doctrine that is, so we have one-to-one matching between the client and in the client that's popped up and the doctrine that runs in the Docker container, right? So one of these doctrine could talk to a different client and might incur your risk loss or the performance loss. This is technically possible, right? Eventually, nothing prevents us to talk to multiple different clouds, save them from one crack.
But if you think about the use cases, the closest is the CDNs. There are some computer that and you can put the doctor over there, and then up here, so they can have these multiple adaption mails. And to the other point, I think the majority of the world will be in this type of optimization. Now we're just stating up the infrastructure, and that's going to be hopefully done within a few months, a year, or something like this. But then all the rest of the time, is doing what he's.
The questions?
If so, with Graphful, it's basically that the beneath things are called, right? Each regret, each perform. Is it a single one?
Or you also kind of try to perform distributed set of those databases and try if data is proficient, then try to basically optimize in that flow as well.
So, as of today, this is a single one per user, so for each session is assigned a duckling. Eventually, we might want to go there, but right now the idea is really want to focus on like scenarios that fits in memory, and like you can get an instance on Amazon that goes to 24 terabyte of memory, pretty expensive, but it can, and so at this point, network will probably become the issues. You would have different problems. Right now, we're really focusing, as we said, we're getting on the like, smaller data set and like make this all experience very next.
So, to just let me give more context. So, that one of the things that wasn't on the slide is that Jordan, the CEO, was the head of product for BigQuery. So, and he looked at the data people actually have of it. And these are not the, like, you know, the data probes that are right. These is like more reasonable data sizes. It's 1 terabyte, but it's already huge. And a single server on terminal was like a lot of it was needed. The question is, and that's the premise of this entire thing, is that you are paying for the overhead of the distributed system, but you actually don't really need it. So we are starting to stay single nodes offering and push it to the limit. And at some point, yeah, we may, you know, follow it differently to this distribution at all the bias that it is. I think it's way more likely we'll have glyphed the payout for multiple, just for throughput. So if you have a website that's powered by that FBB, the vector, and you have thousands of users, that single document will not fly. Okay. But it's just a duplicate rather than a fan out distributed lead for multiple, if user will get more.
Thank you, everyone. I'm definitely going to bother it.
and then nothing is now running inside a container. And can it also run in a lambda pipe?
Technically, we do.
Then it could, but then the spin-off, but the catalyzation is just and the application of the printing machine. So I don't run Kubernetes because that's the easiest. I think, you know, if you look at a multi-user Arch is the only one that would probably have to write custom orchestration. And there's some debate if it's just with it.
If you have any other question, I have captives and if you have any options, Dan, you can ask you, of course, talking about it.
Oh, later.
So, yeah, let's maybe take the last for next questions to fly in and that was one with very. Federal Reserve Negro.
Is that self-located?